British Sky Broadcasting presents The Wedding Date, starring Deborah Messing as Kat Ellis, Dermot Mulroney as Nick Mercer, Amy Adams as Amy, Jack Davenport as Ed, Jeremy Sheffield as Jeffrey, and Sarah Parrish as TJ, voiced by Willow Nash on behalf of MCS Agency. A wedding invitation invites Kat Ellis to the marriage of her sister, Amy Ellis, to Edward Fletcher Wotton in England. A handful of soft pink rose petals fall onto the invitation. A newspaper page of personal ads with several male escorts circled. More circles appear. The sun splashes its rays across the New York skyline. Cars travel across a suspension bridge. The tall modern skyscrapers huddle together in the crowded city.
Hi, this is Kat. Leave a message and I'll call you back.
Hi, Kat. This is Nick Mercer. Sorry I didn't get back to you last night, but I got your messages. All seven of them. I know you're nervous, Kat, but this is what I get paid for. Now, I'm running a little late, so I sent a messenger to pick up my ticket. Kat, stop worrying. Your ex-fiancé will wish he never left you, and your family will think we're in love. You're gonna have to trust me. I'll see you at the airport. Can't wait to meet you.
Kat, midway through frantically brushing her teeth, suddenly stops and stares transfixed at the mirror. She rushes to the front door to answer the bell.
So sorry. I wasn't quite ready for you.
A cycle courier stands at the door. Kat seals an envelope with a plane ticket in it and writes on the outside. She then hands it to the courier, but can't let go. He looks confused and tries to take it. There is a tugging to and fro.
It's a plane ticket. For a date. My date. For my sister's wedding in London.
You need to let go.
You're gonna have to help me.
The courier takes hold of her hand and the envelope and tugs it from her. Then he grabs his bag and runs nervously away. She dashes back into her flat, throwing off her dressing gown as she goes. She opens a drawer and takes out her passport as the courier jumps on his bike and cycles off. Back in the flat, Kat opens a box and takes out some photos of her and her old boyfriend. They smile and kiss one another in a happy embrace. Kat looks sad. She opens a ring box to reveal a sparkling diamond engagement ring. She closes her eyes and the box. Later, she is rushing from room to room, stubbing her toe and gathering her stuff together for the trip. She puts her plants into a sink of water. Elsewhere, the courier races around a street corner. Kat finds herself in the kitchen, suddenly unaware of why she went in there. In a flap, she leaves the room again. The courier continues on his journey. Kat flies down the steps of her flat. The taxi driver follows her, struggling to carry her four suitcases and bags. He stuffs them into the back of his car. The taxi pulls away. The courier arrives at his destination and posts the letter through the door. Kat's taxi flies through the city. The male escort leaves his flat carrying just two bags, which are taken from him by the driver of his black limousine. The car pulls away. The The skyscrapers seem to go on forever as they tower into the endless blue sky above.
I'm not working today. I'm going to my sister's wedding. Customer service will have to survive without me.
But Kat, we had 3 flights delayed and 2 reps called in sick. And a 2505 on the 820 CPT to LGW. And there's this guy on line 2 who got stuck with his in-laws because we couldn't get him out of Heathrow.
Harry, I'd love to help you. Sincerely. But I haven't seen my family in 2 years. And my flight leaves in 15 minutes.
Kat? Please, I'm begging you.
Bump the 1414 to the upper on 1610.
What about line 2?
Check my bags. I completely understand. You just want your family to see you the way you see yourself, or at least the way you would see yourself if you didn't feel so victimized by them all the time.
Hello?
Mr. Rajagopal, we regret that you were inconvenienced. Unfortunately, we are not liable. But just this once, I'm going to refund the full price of your ticket and credit you 10,000 frequent flyer miles. Thank you for calling Virgin Atlantic.
Kat quickly puts the phone down, checking that her boss didn't hear her. She scoots away from the customer services desk. Later, on the plane, she hides nervously behind her safety on board pamphlet.
Your first trip? My sister's getting married and the best man is my ex. In case I chicken out, I want to know where all the exits are.
She puts the pamphlet away apologetically. Later, she is getting a glass of water from the service area as a steward approaches.
I'm not a knuckler. I fly all the time. The reason I can't feel my legs is that any second my date is going to sit down in 3B, and I need him to look really, 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 really good today.
Hello, 3B.
The steward nods with interest at Kat's date, who has just arrived and is receiving a glass of champagne from a stewardess. He's gorgeous.
Thank you.
Hey.
He takes her hand and leans to kiss her on the cheek. She looks stiff and nervous.
That's it.
They sit down. Nick is behind Kat. They find they are still holding hands. They shyly let go.
Glad you found it okay. The airport. The plane. I mean.
I'm sorry, we couldn't leave sooner. I know you wanted a few hours to get settled before the party.
Work must be crazy.
Nick looks awkwardly away. Kat looks like she wishes the ground would swallow her up as she turns around in her seat to face the front. Nick gets comfortable and looks bemused.
Oh, I should warn you. You know those families where everyone's out of their mind, but at the end of the day, they're your family, so you love them? Mine's not like that.
A stewardess arrives to place a napkin and food down for Nick. Kat watches and then beams at Nick, searching for his approval.
I love my dad, but since he's my stepdad, he's technically not family. He's more like a hostage.
Later, as they near London, Nick is looking fresh and professional. Kat has been sleeping with her mouth open. She has drool on her chin, her hair is a mess, and her eye makeup has all smudged and run.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will shortly be arriving at London Heathrow. On arrival, please remain seated until the seatbelt sign has been switched off. Local time is 4:22 p.m. and the temperature is a warm 21 degrees. That's 70 degrees Fahrenheit. We would like to thank you for flying with us today and look forward to seeing you again soon.
Kat looks at herself in her compact mirror and, horrified by what she sees, she slaps a hand to her face. Later, outside the airport.
Oh, Nick, please tell me you're not wearing that tonight.
I am.
It's no big deal, really. It just looks like a tailor cut off a yard of my dress and made your tie out of it. Don't get me wrong, matching's fine. It's matchy-matchy you want to look out for. This is definitely matchy-matchy.
You think we look like we're trying too hard.
Exactly. I want us to look like we fit, but not like we're trying too hard to look like we fit.
Let me teach you a trick. If you look people in the eye, they'll never notice what you're wearing.
Well, there's no way I'm showing up in his and her outfits, so... If you're gonna wear that tie, I have to change my dress.
Driver, will you please pull over somewhere?
The taxi driver waits outside a pub. Kat, in the ladies, changes her outfit. A barman cleans the table.
I'm sorry. I promise, Nick, this is the last one. You must think that... Who knows what you think?
I know how important this is for you. But remember, you're a beautiful woman, and you've got everything in the world going for you.
Don't patronize me. I feel like crap, and if I'm gonna feel like crap, I wanna look hot doing it.
Mission accomplished.
Really? Don't get too attached.
The young barman looks over at Nick. He has seen all the changes of dress.
I prefer the red one.
I'll let her know.
Kat comes out in another beautiful back-revealing dress.
Nice dress or... Gorgeous. It was insane to let you go.
Well, I check you. If that's right with you.
Kat gives Nick a look of who is this idiot. The taxi pulls up outside a very grand hotel. Nick and Kat, her hair piled up elegantly and wearing the red dress, enter the lobby.
I don't know if I can do this.
Well, you're never going to be sure of anything, but we still have to go inside.
Nick carefully steers Kat towards the coat check. An elegant, wealthy-looking woman is ahead of them in the queue. She turns around.
Aunt Bea!
Dear girl.
This should have been you getting married.
You know... You didn't have to return the gravy boat.
And to think Geoffrey is the best man.
Have you met Nick?
How do you do?
Oh. Charming. And what do you do? Excuse us?
Kat swiftly leads Nick away with a smile to her aunt. Nick looks unruffled.
What a nightmare.
They enter the back of the coat check and Kat climbs through the racks of coats.
Okay, we need a story. You're a therapist. We just started dating, and you're crazy about me. Count it. 6,000, even.
Oh, I trust you.
No. Count it.
All right.
Nick counts the money.
Tell you what, I'll cover expenses, but if you want to be intimate, we talk money before anything happens.
Oh, no, that won't be an issue. Believe me, I find the idea of sex for money morally repugnant. I'm sorry. No offense.
Do me a favor. Quit apologizing. If you look at this for what it is, a simple business transaction, maybe you won't feel so compelled to keep saying I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
It's also really annoying.
Kat looks hurt. She slides the coats back together on the rack before following Nick out. She is holding Nick's hand as they leave. They both clock it, and she apologizes.
Sorry. Sorry.
Pussycat! What happened to you?
Pull over for a quickie.
Mom, this is so not the time to be yourself.
And who might this be?
Hi, I'm the new guy. It's great to meet you.
Lovely. This is a marathon, not a sprint. We've got welcome cocktails today, then tomorrow's Young People in the Park, followed by Stags and Hens, Friday's picnic, then the rehearsal dinner. And since you have so foolishly left no margin for jet lag, I need you to hydrate.
Dad.
My darling.
Meet Nick.
Ah. Professor Ellis, how'd you do?
Kat? Kat? Oh, getting married. Oh, hey. Kitty. Oh, I missed you so much.
Gosh, who's the hunky, huh? Nice.
There you are. Get over here.
Times like these, I find a good stiff drink helps, don't you?
Oh, well, can I get you a refill, sir?
Oh, very kind of you.
To the couch.
Where did you find him?
Thank you.
Yellow pages.
Hello?
Oh, sweet Jesus. Who gave that woman an amp?
Hello. Hello. Oh, wonderful. It's finally working. All right, does everybody have a drink? Because I'm going to say a few words. Welcome, friends and family. Victor and I are so happy that you're here to celebrate with us as we welcome Edward and the Fletcher Wootons into our family. You know, it's funny, we always thought that we would marry off Kat first. We had good reason to hope because she was so popular with the boys at school. And we came pretty close once, but as you all know, that crashed and burned. Luckily, we were able to get the deposit back, so here we are again.
To the bride and groom.
Ah, yes, yes. Well, back to the bride and groom-to-be. Edward, we are so glad that you fell in love with the girl next door, our Amy. Congratulations, babies!
Congratulations!
Kat comes out of the ladies. Her ex is waiting on the landing outside. He swings around to face her. She smiles broadly, adjusting her dress. He smiles appreciatively.
Jeffrey.
Hello. Kathmandu.
He approaches her awkwardly. She nervously accepts his embrace. He lingers his cheek against hers. She closes her eyes for a moment of ecstasy. Then flicking them open, she looks startled.
Wow, you look gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Oh my God! Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, a top cat!
Where the bloody hell have you been? I have gynecologists that call more often.
You've more than one gynecologist.
You have to play them off against each other, otherwise they think you're easy. Hello, arsehole. Listen, since you dumped my cousin brutally and without cause, you won't mind if I just steal her away, will you? Thanks.
The cousin whisks Kat down the stairs, leaving Jeffrey looking guilty.
You didn't have to do that.
I wasn't saving you from him. I was saving you from yourself. You, my love, are too bloody nice.
I don't think I've ever seen so many beautiful women in one room.
By the way, did you bring a date?
Darling, why waste 10 more seconds on that horse's ass when Mr. Timey Up, Timey Down is waiting for you over there? Huh? What does he do anyway?
He's a therapist.
The perils of parenthood.
Oh, God. I think I've just come.
Kat sits with Nick having a drink. Her sister stands nearby.
Thank you. Can I have that?
Amy points like a spoilt child at Kat's drink. Kat reluctantly hands it over. Amy then holds her straw in her teeth like a child, flirting with Nick and dribbling the drink everywhere.
Evie, you know what I love about all this, Kat? There's finally a reason for the whole world to revolve around you.
Exactly. There you are.
How's the future, Mrs.?
I'm perfect. I'm all Jenny. Old Snufflepuff.
Kat looks repulsed as Amy and Edward kiss one another passionately, ensuring they have an audience.
Am I not the luckiest bastard on earth?
Aw. Well, I'll dance to that.
Oh,
Edward and Amy fall over.
You know, that's what he gets for not taking dance lessons until 2 days before the wedding.
Oh, come on. Have you ever heard of dance lessons for a wedding?
Well, just about everyone.
You are taking the piss.
We'll go with you.
I don't even know you, hunky donkey, and I love you already.
Dance lessons. Right.
Nick wanders out to a veranda entwined with vines. Jeffrey is there looking melancholy with a glass of martini.
Hey. Oh, hello. Weddings are a celebration of love and commitment.
In utopia, in the real world, they're an excuse to drink excessively and say things you shouldn't. Philosopher, huh? Shrink.
Cracky.
No,
nothing.
Why, tell me.
Well, you Yanks in your therapy, it's a lot of touchy-feely mumbo-jumbo. Spilling your guts to a total stranger, I don't think it's natural. Oh, God. It's just, well, there's this girl that I care for. Well, I suppose you could say I love her. And the bugger is, of course, she's here with some other guy.
Here you are.
Hey, Kat. Hey, Kat.
Oh, hey yourself. I see you met my ex.
I was just telling him how we met.
Hmm.
The next game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you hate sport.
I hate cricket.
Right, yeah. Well, I should go and go.
He looks miserable. What were you talking about anyway?
He seems a little drunk, but I think he's still crazy about you.
Do I know you from somewhere?
No.
What did he say? You don't think he wants me back?
A black cab drives Kat and Nick through a sunny London residential area. They arrive outside a house. Nick carries all Kat's bags and his own up the front steps. Kat's mum and dad follow them up the stairs, looking exhausted after the long climb.
Here we are.
Oh, God.
Oh. Thanks, Mom.
Hey, darling.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks again for having me.
Oh, don't be silly. It's wonderful to finally meet you. Although, technically, I never even knew you existed.
Come on, Bunny.
I love surprises.
Where's Nick sleeping? My mother has this rule about men and women sharing a room when there's no ring involved.
Don't be silly.
What?
I am not as small town as my daughter seems to think.
Kat's mother gives a knowing smile. Kat and Nick enter her old bedroom. It is stuck in a time warp of when she was younger, and the walls are covered in a floral wallpaper.
Sorry about this. I went through a painfully earnest floral phase.
Nick opens the wardrobe to reveal a poster of a band on a tour called Lost in Love.
Air Supply.
Oh, my parents had a German exchange student a few years back.
He must have left it here.
Kat rips the poster down and throws it in the ensuite bathroom bin.
Everyone knows their greatest hits. Some of their lesser-known ballads are surprisingly poignant.
Nick sits in a chair to remove his shoes and finds he's sat on a squeaking teddy bear. Then he catches sight of the contour of Kat's calves as she rises up on her toes.
Is that an old habit from ballet class or from a lifetime of walking on eggshells?
I never took ballet.
Kat looks at him curiously and then shuts the bathroom door. Later, they are unpacking their bags, and Nick notices the article about him on the bed.
How'd you know that was me?
It reads, Discretion Assured, The Diary of a Male Escort by C. Burnett James.
I have a friend at the magazine.
So much for anonymity. Go ahead, take a look. Part of the package.
Kat's eyes widen as Nick reveals his taut upper body and begins to unbuckle his belt.
I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous. Never thought anything like this could happen to me.
This happened to you?
It happened in the sense that I picked up the phone, tracked you down, flew over here and gave you $6,000 out of my 401k.
Nick smirks, walks into the bathroom and drops his pants on the floor. Kat sees his bare bottom and holds her hand to her mouth.
Oh, will you grab my shampoo, please?
Shampoo, got it.
Kat races to give him his shampoo. He holds out his hand one side of the curtain as she goes to the other. They swap sides. Finally, he gets his shampoo. Kat looks flustered.
Barely even for so long, I'm all out of love. What am I without you? I can't be too late to say that I was so wrong.
The part where you were a sexual surrogate and then started to branch out, is that really how it happened?
The real story, my mother was a hippie and a stripper. She was insanely inappropriate with me. She used to wash her lingerie in my bathwater while I was still in it.
Oh.
So as an adult, I needed to find ways to experience intimacy and sex, but with rules that couldn't be violated.
Wow.
I'm just screwing with you.
Oh, shit. Okay, this part. You say, and I quote,
every woman has the exact love life she wants. Now, that seems like a pretty broad generalization. Oh!
Nick is out of the shower and stands naked before Kat, who looks up from the article to get a full view of him in all his glory. She covers her eyes and turns away. Then she turns back for another look.
Do you honestly believe that I want to be single and miserable? Do you think that I want to be hung up on some guy who led me on for years and out of the blue just shattered my heart?
Well, first of all, there's no such thing as out of the blue. And second of all, yeah.
What?
When you're ready to let go, to be unsingle and unmiserable, you will. Till then.
So when you were talking to Jeffrey before, how did he sound?
Like a harmless, self-absorbed toolbox.
Seriously.
He sounded tormented.
Tormented how? Like he's jealous that I'm here with someone else? Or like he regrets throwing away our life together?
Kat has built a wall of pillows on the bed between her and Nick. Nick has fallen asleep. She gets into the bed beside him.
It's just that this hasn't really turned out the way that I thought it would.
Kat looks across at the sleeping Nick.
Hey, Nick.
Kat pats down the wall to get a better look at him, and then nearly falls off the bed. She lies staring at the ceiling, lost in thought. All the friends are playing rounders in Greenwich Park.
Come on, throw it! Throw it!
Well played, darling.
Hey.
What? You ready, TJ?
Bugger off, Jeffrey.
All right, hey, better, better.
Kat drinks from her water bottle, trying to look sexy, pouring the water down her throat and into her cleavage. It doesn't work, and she looks foolish. Nick looks unimpressed. She ties up her top, smiling flirtatiously at Jeffrey.
Come on, Kat. Light her up. You're up, Kat.
Kat goes into bat, her midriff revealed. She sticks out her bottom and hopes to look alluring as Jeffrey prepares to bowl.
Be nice to me, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey and Edward slam their bellies together in celebration.
Lose the game.
Nick is into bat. He whacks the ball into the sky and races around the pitch.
Edward?
Kat looks worried.
Come on!
Get
it
up! Get it up!
Oh, you sexy little monkey! Come on!
You're supposed to be helping.
Oh, trust me. I am.
Nick hugs Kat. Jeffrey kicks angrily at the ground as he stares daggers at Nick. Kat kisses Nick whilst looking at Jeffrey. Later, Kat's father is washing his boat in the driveway. In the bedroom, Nick sits waiting for Kat while she makes her face up.
What's with the socks?
It's a golf-themed bachelorette. Have you ever done a wedding before?
No, but I have done funerals.
An escort at a funeral? Someone's dead.
Yeah, imagine facing that alone.
Ah, catch. Make sure he stays on the right side of the road.
Which is, of course, the left.
That's right.
So, are you ever attracted to your clients?
I know you're curious about my business. But, I really can't discuss other clients.
Oh, come on. How many of them want to sleep with you?
You know, I swear, it's not about sex. It's
about having a little understanding of what people need.
Please. You're like the Yoda of escorts. Getting him on the phone was harder than getting into college.
No, I don't play games. No gimmicks. Mm-hmm. It's much more,
subtle.
It's not about me. It's about you.
Show me. Come on.
What's holding me back? I think it's the word morally repugnant.
Show me.
Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. You're safe. You can relax. I'm not gonna kiss you. He's gonna be so sorry he lost you. So, stop worrying. Forget the past. Forget the pain. And remember, what an incredible woman you are. You do that, and he'll realize what he lost.
Holy crap. You're worth every penny.
You should get going.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Yoda.
Kat peels herself off the car that she has been laid back against and walks away in a daze and in the wrong direction. Nick catches her shoulder and turns her back on track toward the bar. In the bar, the girl's down flaming shots. The girls throw back their drinks as Nick enters the bar with Kat's bag. All the girls stare lustfully at him as he passes them.
I thought you might need this.
Silly me. Where was my head?
Bye.
Listen, why don't you stay and have a little fiery drink with us, eh?
Oh, I don't think so. Stay.
Come on. You know you want to. Come on.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, I can see
you're
you
lovely. Isn't he lovely? Have you smelled him? Lovely.
Can you believe Pat actually gets to shag this guy? No, really. You should send God a bottle of wine or a quiche or something. Look at those buns. Fresh from the bakery.
Must feel great getting paid just for being you.
Who says I'm being me?
Excuse me.
Oh, Amy, thank you for granting me a rare glimpse into a timeless female ritual. Here's to the husbands who've won you, the losers who've lost you, and the lucky bastards who have yet to meet you.
Thanks for talking the hen house.
Nick and Kat kiss goodbye. At the girl's reaction, Kat suddenly takes control. And wrapping her arms around Nick, she gives him a long, passionate kiss. Placing one hand on the wooden paneling, she traps him against it as the kiss continues. He looks at her as they part and smiles. She looks surprised and embarrassed at herself. She gives the girls a coy look as Nick leaves the bar.
You found him first. God, I am so depressed. Will somebody buy my hoo-ha a drink?
Jeffrey and Edward are getting drunk in a bar.
You remember when we took the girls hiking in the Lake District?
No.
You do, blistering heat in the morning and pouring rain all afternoon.
No.
You backed your car over that copper's bicycle.
No.
The rat and gherkin.
Splendid local scrumpy.
Maybe it was that little bikini thing.
But somehow, it was Kat that got stung by nettles.
Kat never said a word until Amy caught her scratching her ass in the toilet.
And then you very sweetly rubbed it with a dock leaf to bring down the sweat. Very good.
I didn't deserve it back then.
And you do now.
Nick enters the room. Jeffrey nods an acknowledgement at him.
What is his problem?
What?
I don't know. There's something about him I don't like.
He's less than 9% body fat and he's shagging your ex-girl.
No, that is not it. I mean, look at him. He's walking around all American like he owns a place.
Two strippers dressed in schoolgirl outfits come down the stairs. Back in the pub with the ladies, Kat's cousin TJ is having one cigarette after another lit for her by the barman as she stares lustfully into his eyes. Kat, looking quite drunk now, stares at the man.
Woody?
Not yet, but it's getting there!
Or was it Nepal?
Close, Sydney, but it turns out that I missed the rain.
I can't tell you that she dumped you because of your funky breath.
She's drunk. No, but I didn't really dump you, right?
Hard. But it was understandable. You were one of the hottest girls in school.
Yeah, and we know that Kat was one of the hottest expats in school because she was voted best eyes and brightest smile and the most likely to age well. You're my half-sister, but I whole love you.
I bet you get my half-sister her... seventh hole.
Tequila.
Sure.
Kat watches her half-sister Amy, who is beginning to look troubled and guilty.
You all right? I don't know if I can do this.
The seventh hole?
The wedding. I shouldn't be allowed to get married. I shouldn't.
What are you talking about?
Amy melts into the dancing crowd of girls.
What's wrong with Jeffrey? As if I would sleep with a stripper. I'm about to get married. You have to. I mean, you know.
It's been my experience that a man in love doesn't want a prostitute.
Eddie, you did the right thing. How do you know so much about so much?
I'm a hooker.
I like that.
The limo with all the drunken girls in pulls up by a cash machine and Kat tries to get out of the car, still with her seatbelt on. She finally realizes and undoes it. She puts a card into the machine and takes out the maximum £250. She then puts in four more cards, sticking the wads of money in her mouth each time. TJ kisses her goodbye and leaves the waving girls.
Ladies, that was a top night. Top night.
TJ dances off down the street, her champagne bottle in her hand. The limo drives off through Piccadilly Circus with Kat and Amy hanging out of the sunroof. Passers-by wave at them as they laugh and dance. They pass the Houses of Parliament, travel over an illuminated bridge past Big Ben, and Buckingham Palace. Kat lays drunkenly back on the roof of the limo. Amy wraps her arms around her and flops on her head. Later, back at the house, Kat goes into the kitchen and pours herself a glass of water. She sits down and drinks it slowly, smiling to herself. She goes into the bedroom.
You okay?
And takes the hand of the sleepy Nick and leads him outside and onto her father's boat. She sits on the edge and then falls into it. Nick helps her up and then down into the cabin.
Watch the sunrise, say you're good.
She smiles mischievously at him as she removes his shirt. She pushes him gently down into a lying position and removes her scarf and top. Hit the road. Call over, he's jump out of my seat. Then her skirt, then her bra. She crawls up onto his chest. He flips her over, hovering his lips just above hers. She traces a line down his back just before he kisses her passionately on the mouth. Their feet intertwine as the kiss deepens. It is morning and Nick is spooned in behind Kat, his arm around her waist. The dustmen empty their bins into the truck just outside the safety of the boat's cabin. Nick opens an eye. He raises himself up on his elbow and looks down at the sleeping cat. He smiles. Climbing out of the boat, the dustmen spot him.
Morning.
Kat stirs and rubs her eyes. She smiles. She struggles out of the boat. Her father, spotting her, taps on the window.
Ahoy there!
Hi, Dad.
Kat pads into her bedroom. She carries her underwear and looks delicate. Closing the door behind her, she checks the bathroom. Nick's not there. Then she spots her bag on her bed. But as she starts to go through it, looking annoyed, Nick comes in with breakfast on a tray.
I don't know what works for you, but I brought you some black coffee, some really stale crackers, egg and cheese sandwich, and a Bloody Mary.
It's very sweet of you, but I need to ask you something. What happened last night?
Nick looks slightly stunned.
Nothing.
He is hurt and embarrassed. Kat looks innocent and surprised. He gives her a slightly defensive smile. She grins.
Thanks.
She takes her coffee with her and goes into the shower. Nick's brow furrows as he uncovers her bag that she has hidden under the duvet and sees the wad of notes in it. He takes it to the shower and whips back the curtain.
Is this for last night?
No, of course not. How could it be? Nothing happened.
Well, if I was going to charge you, I'd have told you beforehand. I thought I'd explain that.
I didn't want you to think that I was expecting anything for free or that I was expecting anything at all. I mean, of course, obviously I was expecting something or else I wouldn't have stopped at that ATM on the way home.
And just so you know, you're 300 short.
He marches out of the bathroom, throwing the wallet on the bed.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that if something happened last night, I'd have to pay you $1,700? That's a down payment on a Ford Focus.
Not dollars. Pounds. Besides, it includes, you know, that's the extra 300.
Nick and Kat's father sit in the kitchen together.
Are you a boatsman, son?
I am now, sir.
Well, I'm glad someone's making use of her at last. The boat, I mean. To defile. Four letters.
Good morning, Daddy.
Ah. Mwah.
What if I didn't want you to do that to me?
The 300's for you doing it to me.
What?
Believe me, if anything had happened, it would have been one of the highlights for you.
But nothing did.
Yep, that's why you get to keep your money.
The wedding dance is the most important dance moment in a person's life. A room full of friends and family, watching, smiling, betting on how long the marriage will last. All you'll have is each other and whatever skills you acquire today. And pair off.
TJ is left without a partner as Kat and Nick and her sister and fiancé pair up.
When the rimba rhythm starts.
Good, that's
the
nice position. Now, your left foot, her right foot. Good, and we're trying to glide across the floor. Come a little bit close together. Moving. Trying to turn.
What's the matter, Nick? Two left feet?
Nick sticks his foot out in retaliation and Kat trips over it. He catches her before she falls and then spins her back up, holding her close and tight to him. She narrows her eyes at him before stamping on his foot. He grimaces in pain, throws her away from him and then pulls her back in. Then he begins to spin her ever quicker around the room. Their faces remain close and intense.
I can hear the sound of violins.
A smile hovers at the edge of Kat's eyes. They both break into flirtatious grins. Then they slow down as the smile fades from their lips and they gaze deeper into each other's eyes.
Like a flower.
Kat's skirt flutters like a rose petal in the breeze as they dance expertly around the room. In the background, TJ is lost in her own world, dancing away to her own rhythm. Amy and Edward show no signs of rhythm. They are stiff and clumsy. Nick spins Kat around as they perform a sexy salsa-style dance, never taking their eyes off each other. They laugh together as Nick takes Kat in his arms and bends her backwards. She throws her head back. They look relaxed and happy.
When I told you I'd never done a wedding before, it wasn't because I'd never been asked. I just never said yes.
Why'd you say yes to me?
There was something in your voice on the phone that day.
Desperation?
I think it was hope.
I'm gonna move on, you lovebirds! I'm getting married in the morning!
Later, they all drive in convoy. The boat is pulled on a trailer up a winding country road high up on a hill to a beautiful old house with a circular drive. Inside the house, Amy hangs her handbag on the horns of a stuffed deer.
Oh, hello, Bambi.
Darling, please don't do that.
Nick and Kat are shown to a beautiful room with a four-poster bed. It has a romantic chiffon canopy above it.
Oh, wow. That's a big bed.
Kat leaps onto the bed and lies down on her back. Nick joins her, relaxing into the eiderdown.
You know what pisses me off? I've been spilling my guts all weekend and I don't know anything about you.
I'm allergic to fabric softener. And I majored in comparative literature at Brown. I hate anchovies. And I think I'd miss you even if we'd never met.
Two children run through a meadow of wild flowers along the edge of a riverbank where the wedding party are preparing for a picnic and the friends play cards.
I'm a little concerned that these might be... It just makes me nervous.
You know, I might just call you. But if I did, I would lose because my hand is complete shite.
Oh. I'm in.
Oh, come on, there's got to be something wrong with him. I bet his thingy bends, doesn't it? Got a kink in it. Oh, no, don't tell me. It's bloody perfect.
I'm going to see you.
And looky, look here. A full house. Oh,
has anyone seen my future wife? She's going to kill me if I don't serve her first.
Have you guys ever had a real honest-to-God fight ever?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, right.
Well, apparently, make-up sex is the best kind. Not that I'm ever going to find out. No, get off!
TJ and Kat chase Edward, snatching at his plate of burnt sausages as he tries to shield them.
You seem to have a way with women. Why don't you go and rustle up the bride? Get her to join the party.
Amy and Jeffrey are in the boathouse as Nick approaches.
Why are you bringing this up now? I love Ed. What do you want from me?
I want you to tell me... blue shirt or white shirt for the rehearsal dinner?
Sorry to interrupt. Your dad sent me.
What for?
Make sure you're okay.
Kat, could I have a word? Let me take a moment.
Well, let me think. You stole 7 years of her life with your bullshit and your charm, and now you'd like just a moment? Sure. Go right ahead.
Thanks for the solidarity, Mom, but next time, a little less information.
Do you believe a place has a memory? Even before Ed and I started dating, we all used to come up here in the summer and spend weekends. God, I hope it doesn't remember everything.
No matter how certain one is of one's position, of what one should or shouldn't do, one sometimes discovers that one is not as one would have hoped one would have been.
What exactly are you trying to say?
Well, I'm sorry. Look, I feel like I need to tell you something. You're not even listening to me.
I'm sorry, I'll be back in just a minute.
Kat sees Nick in the distance and runs to him. He looks troubled.
Hey. Is everything okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nick takes Kat's hand and kisses the palm.
Anchovy, Nick? I remember the day I met Kat. It was in New York. I've been seeing Bunny for a few months. And she finally trusted me enough to meet her kid. So, I'm over at her place, and in walks this little monster. That was it. I was a goner. That was the day I became a dad. You know, Nick, you think it's going to get easier as they get older? That you're going to worry about them less? Or that you're going to trust the world more? But that's just not how it happens.
This may not make much sense to you, sir. But I'd like to ask your permission to date your daughter.
I thought you already were.
I blame Tony Peepan.
No,
I have to initiate Nick into our family. I blame Tony for why my two girls just don't seem to be able to get along. Don't deny it, you barely tolerate each other.
Come on, it's true. The only thing you've got in common is that you're both secretly attracted to me.
Started right after we moved here. My two girls got into a fight over Tony Peepants, and they have never made up ever since.
Apparently, Kat and I were inseparable.
If Kat ate a banana, Amy threw it up.
If Amy threw it up, Kat ate it.
Oh, wow.
So we were eating and throwing up together in harmony until Tony walked me home from school one day. He was my first boyfriend. Tony started ignoring Kat because he wanted to play with me. Anyway, the point of the story is that Tony ended up with a chair in his face.
It was plastic and child-sized. But as I recall, there were stitches involved.
Come on, Bunny, there are 15 stitches, to be precise.
So is that when he peed in his pants?
Well, he cried a lot, but no, there was no peeing.
So what's with the nickname?
I have absolutely no idea.
I want to get some more wine.
Kat goes off to the wine cellar with Jeffrey in hot pursuit. Nick spots this and grabs some empty bottles as an excuse to follow them out. He makes his way through the kitchen whilst Kat and Jeffrey are in the cellar.
And I thought perhaps you... Box, I'm sorry. I had no idea this would be so difficult. I feel like I owe you an explanation.
Hey, relax. It's fine. I promise. And I should probably admit that, I brought Nick with me to torture you. Slowly. For the entire weekend. But then, I don't know, something happened and now... And I hope this doesn't hurt your feelings, but, I'm just sick of you and me.
Of our whole story.
So come on, let's just go upstairs and eat some tiramisu.
I slept with your sister.
I'm sorry?
Well, I shagged Amy 2 years ago. That's why I broke it off with you. And then after you left, sod it, we kept at it like rabbits until, well, we both realized it was absolutely mad and, you know, and obviously morally wrong. And then that was it. But, last Christmas when Ed proposed, I realized that I'm in love with her. Good Lord, say something, please.
Kat turns slowly and leaves the cellar. As she enters the garden again, TJ sees the stunned look on her face and approaches her.
Oh my God, he's told you, hasn't he?
You knew?
Kat, I'm so sorry. I'm so...
Kat, please don't say anything.
Amy runs back to TJ for comfort whilst Nick wraps Kat in his arms protectively.
I can't believe you told her.
Nick looks accusedly at Amy as the realization dawns on Kat. She peels away from Nick. She looks bewildered at Amy and then hurt and betrayed. She pushes Nick away. Nick looks at Amy, who lowers her eyes with shame. Kat looks around at all the people close to her that knew before she did. She looks up at the approaching storm and turning slowly, she begins to run away across the field, dropping the two wine bottles in her hands as she goes. Nick chases after her.
What's going on?
Nothing.
It doesn't look like nothing.
Now is not the time to catch on, Ed.
Okay. Good.
Ed walks away, leaving Jeffrey looking shattered. Elsewhere in the grounds of the house, Kat walks down a farm track with Nick in hot pursuit.
Leave me alone. You knew and you didn't tell me.
Wait up.
I can't believe I trusted you.
Come on, you gotta stop running.
How could you not have told me?
What did you expect me to say?
You let me make a fool of myself. You lied to me. But I guess I really shouldn't be surprised, because that's what you do. That's who you are. You're a liar.
You're judging me? Oh, that's a good one. You're gonna stand there and point a finger at me, the guy that you hired to pretend to be your boyfriend.
You're right. You're right. I was so desperate to make everyone believe that I was happy that I paid $6,000 for a lie. And at the end of the day, the only one who ended up falling for it was me. I wish I could say it was worth it.
Go ahead, Kat. Hate me. You know, I think you're running out of steam on this whole Jeffrey thing anyhow. So maybe now you'll be able to hold on to this long enough to ruin your next relationship.
Nick walks away back up the lane, leaving the bedraggled Kat alone, her hair wet with rain and her face wet with tears. Later, Nick leaves the house, his bags packed. Edward runs out after him.
Nick.
I'm just checking into a hotel.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. It's late. Take the car. Actually, the boathouse is empty. Look, I don't know what's going on with you two, but I'm sure you'll work it out. You couldn't be more perfect if she'd picked you out of a catalogue.
Thanks, Ed.
Amy enters Kat's bedroom.
Hey.
Hey.
I wanted to say thank you for not outing me in front of Ed. I want to tell him. Just not the night before our wedding. You know, with these things, timing is everything.
You're right. You should really time it right, so that when he hears that you repeatedly screwed his best friend, he won't feel like the whole world is collapsing around him and there's no escape because you tricked him into marrying you.
Kat,
oh, don't worry. Your wedding will be perfect. Tomorrow I'll smile and say all the right things and you'll deal with Ed when you're ready. But right now, tonight, I'm not going to pretend it's okay.
Amy begins crying as she slowly leaves Kat's room. Meanwhile, back at the boathouse, Nick is on the phone.
And that's your first flight out? Another summer day has come and gone away. All right. Thanks.
Nick hangs up and sits staring at the floor. Back in Kat's bedroom, she lies with the covers pulled up to her chin, looking sad and contemplative. Another airplane, another sunny place. I'm lucky, I know, but I wanna go home. To go home. The next morning, Kat sits in the hairdresser's with her mum.
I'm okay.
I don't believe you.
I'm fine, really. Nothing a bottle of Jack and a straight razor couldn't fix. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Today's Amy's day.
It is mayhem outside the house as everyone gets into the cars, including eventually a very reluctant flower girl and a naughty page boy. Photos are taken. Kat looks strained.
Smile.
The cars pull away out of the driveway and through a quintessentially English village. Later, Kat is sitting on the steps at the side of the church, fiddling with her bouquet, her head downcast, as her stepfather approaches.
Hello. I've been looking for you. So, why did you let him go?
It's complicated, Dad.
Ah, right. It probably wouldn't have worked out anyway, huh? I remember reading a fascinating article in the New York Times magazine once, where this guy said, every woman has the exact love life she wants. You know what? I agree with him. But I refuse to believe that this is what you want, Kat. Ever since you were a little kid, you've always worried about what other people think. Now, come on, what do you think? Is he the guy for you?
Kat looks away, thinks for a moment, and then nods.
Then go and get him.
Kat kisses her dad on the cheek and then leaps up and runs off. She jumps in the wedding car and speeds through the village, trailing the tin cans behind her. Meanwhile, in the vestry, Amy waits nervously for Edward. The congregation grow restless. Ed enters the vestry, covering his eyes with his hands.
Hello, darling. Your mother said you wanted to have a quick word. No.
There's something you should know before you marry me.
What is it?
Geoffrey stands waiting with the vicar, while Kat runs down the path to the boathouse, tripping on her bridesmaid dress. She bursts into the boathouse, a smile on her lips, which quickly fades when she sees Nick's not there. There is no sign of him. Elsewhere, he drives along in a car, his brow furrowed in thought. Back at the boathouse, Kat spots an envelope with her name on it. On the back, it says, "It's all there. Trust me." Kat looks mortified. Nick continues to drive. Suddenly, he screeches to a halt and slams the steering wheel with his hand. Back in the vestry.
I wanted to tell you, but I was afraid that you'd never forgive me, and I just love you so much. I'm sorry.
I knew you were seeing someone else when we finally got together, but not Geoffrey. Does Kat know?
Geoffrey told her last night.
Excuse me.
Ed leaves the vestry and enters the church, a look of steely determination on his face. Geoffrey looks worried.
Ed?
Geoffrey begins to step toward the door.
Ed. Calm down, Ed. Ed.
Ed chases him.
Oh! TJ!
TJ sticks out her foot to trip Geoffrey up. The men fly out into the churchyard. Ed catches hold of Geoffrey's coat and rips it off. The two men run through the village as Nick races back into the village in Ed's car.
Ed, calm down! It's all sorted! She wants you! I've given up! What's the problem?
You backstabbing weasel!
Hey, that's not fair! It was before you guys were even dating!
But you were engaged to her sister!
Ed, calm down! We can talk about this like civilized human beings!
Nick follows them up the road, driving next to the running Ed, who sprints along the grass verge.
I look like a total wanker, don't I?
Yeah, kinda.
Get in the car, Ed.
He's halfway to France by now.
Geoffrey's legs flick up in the air as he tumbles down a hill. Back at the church, a disheveled-looking Kat drags her flowers out of the car and stumbles towards the door.
I
trust you've enjoyed your trip to England.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Thanks, Eddie.
You know, I felt sorry for you last night. I was just sitting there like some smug ass thinking, aren't I a lucky sod? I forgave her when I thought it was just some random bloke. But not Jeffrey. I've had her up on a pedestal ever since... ever since I put her up there.
Back at the church.
What a mess I've made, huh?
Kat hands Amy a tissue.
I'm so sorry.
Back in the car.
The hardest thing is loving someone and then having the courage to let them love you back. But if you know her shit and she knows yours, and at the end of the day, you still would rather give up than try. Nothing's ever going to be worth it. Maybe think about it this way. You go back, and you get to spend the rest of your life having really great makeup sex.
Ed and Nick run back toward the church. Kat is at the gate.
Ed?
Must run!
Hi.
Hi.
Last night when we were fighting, I thought this was over. And I was gonna leave you alone and just take off, but then I realized I'd rather fight with you than make love with anyone else.
Nick gently moves a lock of her hair away from her face, and holding her cheek in his hand, he goes slowly in towards her lips. Their mouths meet in a passionate kiss. Then he moves his hand to her milky white neck, and the kiss grows deeper.
No, you can't.
I have to. I'm the best man.
A cheeky smile plays across Nick's face. Kat smiles with surprise as he holds out his hand and moves toward the church. She runs to him, and they start down the aisle behind TJ and an usher.
You can dance, every dance with a guy who...
Ed waits nervously at the altar. Kat adjusts Nick's tie.
Every smile for the man who held your hand beneath the pale moonlight.
Nick stands beside Ed, and Kat gives him a shy smile.
And in whose arms you're gonna be.
Amy and her father walk down the aisle together.
The last dance for me. Oh, I know that the music's fine like sparkling wine. Go and have you.
Ed smiles and takes Amy's hands.
Laugh and sing.
Let's go.
Amy nods and her mother's eyes fill with tears. Nick winks at Kat. She winks back. Later at the reception, Kat takes the microphone.
Ed? There's no one in the world who knows how to love my baby sister better than you. Be good to one another. To Amy and Ed.
Amy and Ed.
Amy kisses Ed. Kat raises her glass and drinks. Amy mouths, "I love you," to Kat. Kat smiles. Outside, some mischievous children climb out from under a table and begin shaking the present boxes. Kat and Nick dance together. Amy and Ed do their own version of dancing. TJ dances with the barman, Woody. Kat's mum and dad laugh and dance together. A caption reads, "After the wedding." TJ found out how Woody got his nickname. Amy and Ed learned that makeup sex was worth fighting for. Nick quit the business and took Kat on their first date. Nick paid. And Jeffrey comes out of a shower, spots an attractive girl through the window and, dropping his towel, begins doing chin-ups to show off his body to her. The caption reads, "And Jeffrey learned absolutely nothing." The end.